Neurophone. You don't hear it through the through your ears at all.
If I've got skin all over my body, then it should
work.
I hope
so. Yeah. Isn't
it?
Not only that, you can put one of the little electrodes, say, on your arm and put another electrode on someone else's arm. In fact, you can have four or five people, and everybody joins hands, and everybody hears, right in your head, the music or whatever you happen to have on it.
Okay, we've got the price. Where can one get one?
The address we gave you earlier.
Okay, I have that.
686.
They'll send you all the information
Fine.
If you just write them there at that number.
Okay, that was just a side effect. The thing I wanted to talk about was, and I hope that skeptic who called in last week about and didn't believe about crystals is listening, because...
Yes, I remembered him.
I told you this before, Bill, that I did what you said. I put it in the fridge, and fortunately I didn't have to go through your hassle of freezing everything, because you said it did. So I turned it back between 2 and 3. Mine goes between 1 and 9. And it used to be set according to whether it was winter or summer, between 5 and 7. It is now between 2 and 3, and not only does it keep everything beautifully cold, but it cuts down on any spoilage. I don't know if that's a side effect, but I'm a bachelor, and I used to find all sorts of green stuff in the back of the refrigerator, down in the fruit and vegetable bins.
That's very normal. The veggies stay very crisp and tender.
Everything. There's no mold, no mildew.
How big is the crystal you're using?
One is about the size of my thumb.
Right.
And it comes to a point, and that's all I use.
Yeah. But see, that's the way we developed our crystal water. See, the original work that we did was to put quartz crystals in water, and we found that the crystal altered the structure of the water, and only it was temporary. In other words, the minute you agitate or vibrate the water, it loses that structure. And somehow the same thing happens in your refrigerator. When you put that crystal in there, crystals, you know, have an enormous amount of energy stored in their system because they're so highly structured under great pressure. And the result of that is that the energy apparently radiates standing waves into the refrigerator in such a way that it restructures and actually reduces the entropy of everything in the environment and in that environment. And that's what makes your food last longer.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, how does one get... your water. I mean, what must one do to get this crystallized water?
The same address.
If you call up our office or drop us a line, why, we'll send you a little sheet that describes the water and various things that we're into.
Wonderful.
Be prepared to get hooked on that water.
Well, I've been using Dr. Willard's water for I guess 3 years now.
Well, that was a good start.
Dr. Willard's water is a great start. It's he did a great service to the world when he brought out his water.
And the guy that works said, "Well, what are you doing? How do you keep so slender? And I says, I tell him, but nobody listens. You know, they don't want that. Nobody wants to hear how they can stay young, look young. And I retired from my job 3 weeks ago at the age of 66.
Wow.
And I feel great.
Are you trying to gain weight like I am?
I could use a 15 or 20 pound, yeah, but...
I eat like a horse. Doesn't do any good. I'm going to stay right here. 165, that's it.
Skinny. 135.
Yeah.
5'11".
6'1", so...
Okay.
All right, Al.
But I can go out of body and you can't, huh?
Really rub it in.
Talk to you later, and thank you very much.
All right.
The Flanagan.
Thank you, Al.
All right, bye.
All right. Larry, you're on.
Hi, I have a question for Dr. Flanagan. I'm trying to, first of all, I didn't hear how to get a hold of the Neurophone.
Just write the Novato address that we gave you a minute ago. They'll give you all the information.
I didn't hear that at all. Can I get that address if I call the 415 number?
Yeah,
411 is P.O. Box 686, Novato, California, 94948.
Right, we'll get
how do you spell that, Novato?
N-O-V-A-T-O.
Okay, now I'd also like to know what kind of research has been done with a Neurophone in terms of, I mean, obviously, if this is able to create endorphins through the system, it's got to be having some kind of, I'm a chiropractor.
Right.
And I have a great deal of interest in this in terms of pain control with the patients. When I put my patients down and start working on them, I use music or sounds that are very similar to what you're creating with your with your ohm and other things like that
right.
in the room because it brings the patient down.
Are you a kinesiologist?
I've had some experience with kinesiology, but I'm not a kinesiologist per se.
Right. Well, Dr. Sheldon Deal, who is the president of the International College of Applied Kinesiology that has now over 8,000 members, has written two papers on the neurophone and its effect in chiropractic. And basically what he has discovered is that the neurophone balances anything in the body that is not traumatic in nature. In other words, electrical imbalances, stress imbalances, things like that. So that basically what he says is that when you use the neurophone, any kind of subluxations or anything like that that are non-traumatic in origin will adjust it, will rebalance. And then you can go to work and work on those that are due to trauma.
Now, what kind of research has been done in terms of, you know, I started to mention a moment ago that if you're having effects on the endorphin systems, there has to be stimulation of the limbic system, sympathetic and parasympathetic systems.
Well,
have they been able to do like vascular researches and things too?
Well, there's not much research done on that yet, and we're hoping that some work will be done on actually measuring endorphins. The only thing that's been done vascularly with the neurophone was that he found out that it reduced the LDL content.
Oh.
In other words, when they use the neurophone on his patient, that the light lipids decreased in the blood.
Lipoproteins, yeah.
But other than that, no one has actually measured the endorphin. The only thing that has been observed is, time after time, is that when people are in pain, many times when they put the neurophone on, the pain seems to go away. And we assume that it's endorphins, but we have no proof of that.
When you speak of the crystals that you were talking of earlier, I'm not sure of exactly what crystals you're speaking of.
Rock crystals.
Are you familiar with Dr. Reese?
Reese?
Yes.
No, I'm not.
Oh, he's an extremely heavy practitioner in crystal therapy. And he's been doing a lot of work with him over the last couple of years, especially.
You know, I just noticed I've got to be a practitioner in commercial opathy, whatever you call it.
Thank you very much for your time.
And we've got to do that. Thank you very much, Larry. Appreciate
Bye-bye.
The call. This radio program without a nice little crystal sitting back there in Big Blue.
That's right. And, you know, it's estimated there are about 8 to 10 quartz circuits currently in all new automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also used as capacitors. And that means that they modify energy capacity in a circuit, blocking excessive flows. And it's also a safety gear featured, you know, it's a safety feature geared for the user's understanding. There are also transducers, which is an instrument that transmits energy from one system to another. Crystals are condensers, in that it can store a continual charge of vitality force fields in solid form, which could, you know, explain what the phenomena that occurs in the refrigerator. And it's also an energy force field, the sonic protection against static in and around an individual and their auras. And also it's a body balancer. With the passage of ions through the crystal's molecular structure, the body frequencies will be altered. So those are six things that I like to remind people of about crystals.
Also, if you stick one in your spa, you never have to put chlorine in.
Yeah, we have, you know how big, we have a 200-pound crystal in our spa.
There's not much room left for Patrick and Gail, then, have you?
Yeah, we used to wear it, but we just put it in the spa.
All right, well, let's get back to our callers and see what's on their mind. Al, you're on.
Thank you, Bill. Mm-hmm. I'll be going to Boston next week on that venture capital situation that I talked to Alan Braun on 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I remember. Yes, indeed.
I'll be trying to help society with the first nutritious fast food franchise. I do want to mention to Patrick and Gail that I have the Ohm tape, and I use it every night. I have their neurophone. And I was interested when he said some software development. My company also does endeavors in that area. I would like to talk to Patrick about that with the neurophone maybe at another time.
You can leave your number with our secretary and we'll give you a call, okay?
Okay, very good, Gail. And I did want to mention, I ordered your water tape to show me how to make my own purified water, and I haven't received it yet.
Oh, well, you can't. The water tape,
you talked about water, and it doesn't tell you how to make your own purified water.
Okay.
It tells ways in which water can be charged, but unfortunately, the big problem with it, as I mentioned earlier, is that this began when I started working with putting crystals in water and found out that the crystals altered the structure of the water and the surface tension, but it was temporary. The minute the water is agitated, in other words, you take the crystal out and the water is agitated, that goodness disappears. So I tried grinding up crystals, for example, ground up quartz and diamonds, things like that. I put that in the water. That helped it, but the problem is you can't drink ground up quartz and diamonds or they'll destroy your kidneys. So the next problem was to figure this out, and Willard, you know, had one solution along the way that that was very interesting and perked me up, and then I studied the water from Hunzaland and discovered that the water in Hunzaland had little silica crystals in them that are you know, are proper for ingestion. So we ended up creating a special multi-mineral colloidal highly charged structure that we put in the water that will change the water indefinitely, so you can agitate it, shake it up, and so forth, and it still charges the water. And when you drink it, it's compatible with the body because it's the way minerals are found naturally in nature in some areas, like in Hunzaland. And very complicated for you to try to make your own water.
Yes. Patrick, is that the concentrate that I think I purchased that from you and you add to distilled water?
Right, that's it.
Okay, I could definitely tell a taste difference. Are you mass producing that concentrate?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So I'll probably want to talk to you on that because I think it. I would like to also offer that product.
Well, just talk to Dottie, our secretary, and tell her that you talked to us on the air and we told her to give us your number and we'll get in touch with you.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Al.
Best of luck in Boston, Al.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right.
Okay, bye.
And we have Mike on the line. Mike?
Good evening, Bill. I have a question for Dr. Flanagan and Gail. With respect to the crystals in the water, now, when you have done the experimentation, that you were you just measuring the surface tension of the water, or are you going for other characteristics as well?
Well, surface tension is one. We've measured the dielectric constant, surface tension, infrared absorption. We've measured a number of factors so far and found that many of these factors alter in certain ways, showing that the structure of the water is actually that the water is more structured.
Okay, because in some of the research that I've done on it, where, you know, either keeping crystals in water and then measuring the for lack of a better term, the energy coming off of it with a dowsing device.
Right.
I haven't noticed any decay of energy changes over the course of, let's say, 24 to 48 hour period of time. I didn't go beyond that because I figured that was enough.
See, I don't know about the dowsing, but as far as the actual physical structural change in the water, it does change. In other words, we're talking about, you know, a heart-type measuring device rather than a psychic measuring device. I don't know about the psychic energy effect of it, but I can tell you that the structure imparted to the water by the crystal does decay. In other words, if the water is agitated, for example, poured from one glass to another, it loses that structural integrity that was given to it by the crystal.
Yes, unfortunately, not having a lab totally at my disposal, I haven't been able to conduct those tests.
Right.
One thing, at the beginning of the show when they were playing the OM tape, I happen to have a little quartz pyramid. And something just told me, why don't I go over and take a reading off of it while the ohm tape is playing, and the thing damn near burned a hole in the center of my hand.
The powerful little pyramid. He is a pyramid.
It's a powerful tape. No, instead of quartz pyramid.
Yeah, it's a pure quartz pyramid.
Right.
Are you also familiar with the structures being common to the helix growth of the crystal and the angle of the pyramid?
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah. Yeah, the cap or the apex of the quartz crystal is at the same angle as the side of the Great Pyramid.
I can barely hear you folks over the ohm sound.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate
that. I'm sorry
about that. That's all right.
It just seemed like it belonged there.
Yeah. When you look at the quartz crystal, you know, the termination on a quartz crystal, the walls of the crystal are more or less parallel and they're hexagonal in shape. And the very top of the crystal, the cap, bends over into a termination. And if you measure that angle, you'll find that that's the same angle as the side of the Great Pyramid. Also, the refractive index, of course, is the same as the angle of the Great Pyramid.
Mm-hmm. In addition to which, it's the same helical structure as the RNA-DNA molecule, which we all know is all purely coincidental between the three.
Right.
Okay, well, I was just kind of curious as to the research you have been doing back there. I'm kind of planning on getting back to Sedona probably in January, so I'll get a hold of your Northern California office, and maybe we can make contact.
Great, okay.
Yeah, thank you, Bill, for the time.
What I'd add about the pyramid is you were holding a pyramid as you were listening to the ohm tape. What I do sometimes is I take certain crystals, and to charge them, I'll put them in front of the speaker while the ohm tape is playing.
Well, this particular one I've got sitting just kind of off to the side and having one face to magnetic north.
Right.
And I just figured, well, you know, why don't I go ahead and measure it? And
you generally feel energy coming off of the top of that pyramid anyway, don't you?
Yeah, but not by a factor of five increase.
Oh, really?
Without a thought for it.
Well, just by playing the tape?
Just by playing that little piece of music right there.
That ohm tape contains the resonance of the Great Pyramid itself, so it would resonate with any other pyramid that has the same structure.
And by the way, you might be interested in knowing that while we made that tape, we were fortunate enough, the Egyptian government, first of all, gave us special permission to spend the night in the pyramid. They also unlocked the Queen's Chamber, which is always locked, and they let us put in these tiny Giza crystals, which had been underwater for a year prior to the night that we spent during the Palladian alignment 2 years ago to the day tomorrow. Anyway, and these little crystals were placed inside the Queen's Chamber the night that we made that tape. So Patrick and I, since there was such a limited amount of them, Patrick and I wanted to figure out how we could share this experience with people. So what we did was we took a little Giza crystal, we climbed to the top of the pyramid, we charged them on top of the pyramid too. We had a bag full of these crystals, and we took pieces of the apex of the Great Pyramid of Giza, and we ground these up homeopathically, and we molded them into the little tiny mini Giza pyramids. And those are available also, and they're very powerful. So they contain a piece of the Great Pyramid, crystals that were charged in the Queen's Chamber, lavulite, sujalite, lapis, and some other magical stone blends, and they're very powerful also. So that's the pyramid I thought you were speaking of initially.
Oh, no.
Those are available also. Bill, you have one.
I have one. Yes, I sure do. It's right by my bed.
Only people on the planet have one.
Can't you just see these two, Mike? Mm-hmm. Here they are climbing up the pyramid. With a bag of all of this, and they spent their wedding night on top of the Great Pyramid.
That's right.
Well, I thought I was...
How many people could stay back?
Not too many.
That's true. It takes almost the moral equivalent of act of God in Congress in Egypt to get into the pyramids overnight, from what
I
understand.
We were lucky. I have spent the night in the pyramid before in 1974, and I had to bribe my way in, but bribing your way in is now virtually impossible. We were lucky for this particular night. We actually were able to obtain permission from the Egyptian Department of Antiquities to spend the entire night in the pyramid.
So we spent the 3 days of the Palladian alignment, which is astrologically a most auspicious occasion.
In fact, the comet right now, the Halley's Comet, is going through Pleiades right now. And exactly tomorrow is our anniversary when we were in the pyramid, and the Halley's Comet is going through the Pleiades constellation right now in alignment with it.
That's where you see it.
That's interesting, because I think there's been also an increase of, shall we say, UFO activity reports as well, if I'm not mistaken, from what I've been hearing.
Sure. We saw a UFO that night.
I can believe that very sincerely.
You know, I lied also inside the King's Chamber with crystals placed. I mean, in the King's Chamber, in the sarcophagus, with crystals placed on all our chakras. So we had crystal initiations that night too. It was an incredibly powerful night.
Gail is quite obviously into crystals.
I think the appropriate term, Bill, she's a bigger basic crystal junkie.
I only carry 30 pounds.
Okay, Mike. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm Bill Jenkins, and with me is Dr. Patrick Flanagan and his lovely wife, Gail. And we have sort of an open line, open forum discussion about, well, anything that just may be on your mind, okay? The year is... Hi, John.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I have a question for Dr. Flanagan, if I may ask.
You certainly may. Go right ahead.
Dr. Flanagan, I would like to know about the Mobius strip, a geometrical shape that has one side and one edge, I believe.
Right.
And I would like to know how to make a left-hand Mobius strip versus a right-hand Mobius strip.
Right.
In other words, if I have a piece of paper, say 12 inches long, 1 inch wide, how do I know if I'm making a left-hand or a right-hand twist?
Well, hold the end in your right hand away from your body, and hold the end in your left hand toward your body. so that, you know, the paper is flat and parallel.
I see.
Okay, now, twist the end that's closest to your body one half turn clockwise, and then wrap it around and join the ends, and that's a left-hand twist. If you twist it one half turn counterclockwise, that's a right-hand Mobius.
I see. One half turn clockwise is a left hand.
Yeah,
that's
if you're twisting the end that's closest to your body. Yeah.
I see. So if I had a piece of paper in front of me and my right hand is far from my body holding it and my left hand is close to my body holding it.
Right, so that it's vertical to your body. Right.
Vertical?
No,
I was
no,
making
what
it.
What I mean is that it's pointing at your body. Like
yes, pointing. I see, perpendicular to my body.
Right.
And I turn my left hand clockwise one half,
right,
and then connect. That's
right.
A left hand.
Right. Market called an earth resonance generator. That's a little 8 hertz oscillator that feeds electric signal into a left hand Mobius antenna.
Oh.
And this then generates an energy field that counteracts ELF signals.
Oh.
And so you can also do the same thing with a multi-wave oscillator or whatever. Any energy that goes through the left-hand Mobius will generate a beneficial field.
That's what I was interested in.
Right.
And may I ask just one last question?
Sure.
Is there any significance, is one type of band, a left-hand or a right-hand, more receptive to tapping tachyon energy? Can a Mobius strip do that?
Oh, yes. Well, they both are. But see, we're talking about magnetic monopoles also.
I see.
And in other words, you have a left-hand rotating magnetic monopole and a right-hand rotating. And the left-hand Mobius generates a left-hand monopole, and the right-hand Mobius generates a right-hand monopole. And also, they're both tuned to either one.
I see. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, John.
I might add that the Mobius is just one geometric configuration that has powerful ramifications health-wise and consciousness-wise. There's an artist by the name of Richard Wood who has incorporated the use of these geometric configurations into an artistic form. I believe he has an exhibit now at the Museum of Science and
right.
Industry. Isn't that Patrick?
Right.
He makes the most incredible creations using stellated dodecahedrons, based a lot of it on the integrity of natural geometry, Bucky Fuller's geometry, and so forth.
Yes.
But they're multifaceted mandalas that are suspended from the ceiling and move with the currents, with air currents, and they have an incredible healing effect. They increase psychic abilities, and they're just absolutely beautiful to look at. If anybody gets a chance, they should stop by and treat themselves. There's also a holographic exhibit that's going on now, too. It's the Museum of Science and Industry. But anyway, Richard Wood, if you haven't heard of him, is an up-and-coming sculptor artist who is the only one I know of in the country, right, Patrick?
Right, that's right. And not only that, but his exhibit, by the way, if you want to see it, is in the front door. As you walk in the front door, if you look up, you'll see it. It's hanging right inside the front door of the museum as you go in.
But geometry, you know, Pythagoras, the father of geometry, said that the characters of the book of nature could be written in the characters of geometry. So there's a whole lot to be said about geometric configuration.
By the way,
Pythagoras was biased about that, guys.
Pardon?
I said Pythagoras was biased about that.
Right.
Okay, John, does that help you?
That's very fine. Thank you so much.
All right.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you jumping in here with us. And it's your turn, Serena.
Hello.
Hi.
This is for Patrick Flanagan. A while ago, I sent you a letter asking if nurses and people in the health field could buy the Neurophone and write it off as a tax deduction in...
I'm sorry, can you speak a little louder?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you hear the beginning of my sentence?
Yes, I heard the first part, yeah.
Okay. And I'm wondering if people in the health field could buy the Neurophone, like chiropractors, nurses, and write that off as a tax deduction, claiming they need it in their healing art.
I'm not sure.
Well, no,
yes.
Wait, Gail. Uh-huh. Just wait. Since Dr. Sheldon Deal has published, first of all, it's not a medical device, but a number of health practitioners are using it as a balancing device for the body. And since Dr. Sheldon Deal, as I mentioned earlier, who is president of the International College of Applied Kinesiology, which consists of 8,000 members who are licensed to diagnose, wrote two articles on the neurophone, and a number of health practitioners have purchased it. And as far as I know, they have claimed it as a business deduction. But, you know, when it comes down to that, it's between you and your tax accountant. But
and don't forget the good old man from the IRS.
IRS,
so,
right.
So I can't say what they would say, but I can tell you that since it's been written up as an aid in that area, why, you know, more than likely you can't.
Yeah, where is the college? What?
The International College of Applied Kinesiology is a medical association made up of kinesiologists, and they meet twice a year, once in Detroit and then once in the Bahamas or something like that. But Dr. Deal is in Tucson, Arizona, at the Swan Clinic, SWAN Swan Clinic. And so if you were to write him a letter or whatever, you may be able to obtain a copy of his paper, or you may be able to apply if you're a licensed to diagnose. You may be able to apply to become a member of the college.
How do you spell his last name?
D-E-A-L.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Serena.
Okay.
Good. Best of luck with that, but you're always in trouble when you deal with a tax man, it seems like. And Ed, you're on the line.
Yes, good evening. Yeah, I had a question for Dr. Flanagan. Have you heard of a light that's supposed to be therapeutic for a number of things called a Kiva light, K-I-V-A? It's supposed to have its major impact on the structure of water. I wonder if you have heard anything about that.
No, I haven't heard anything about it at all.
Yeah, and it's manufactured by a company in New Mexico, and they have recently found some dramatic effects on taking away some of the effects of Alzheimer's and some of the effects of caused by allergies. Apparently through a simulation of minerals that are activated in water and in the water structure itself. I thought you might be interested in that.
Sure, I would be interested. What city are they in?
They're in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque, okay.
And it's called a Kiva light, K-I-V-A?
Kiva, K-I-V, like in Victor A, yes.
Yeah. What is the source of the light there?
The source of the light is just, it's a like a fluorescent bulb. And what they have done is they have altered the
spectrum.
Pardon me?
The spectrum?
Yes, the particular spectrum which it radiates is the major cause of the...
Is it full spectrum?
Major effect.
Probably an ultraviolet range. Huh?
Pardon me?
Probably ultraviolet.
No, as a matter of fact, they have cut back on the ultraviolet. It's in the visible spectrum which that causes the major effect.
Boy, that's amazing. I'm always interested in research. I have a very large library of water anomalies, and I'm always interested in research going on anywhere about water. So I'll definitely.
If you could send the address to our secretary, we'd really appreciate it.
Shall do. I had another question.
Very much.
I had another question regarding your IBT shots. What are the indications that one might need a booster to that? Now, I received your shot a while ago at PV, and I've had some effects. Now, I've just wondered if there's any key things I should look for.
How long ago did you do it?
Just this year.
This year?
Well, let's see. When was that?
You should be feeling great.
Well, I'm not. And that's one of the things I wanted to discuss.
It's been, it's been almost 2 years since we did that, so.
No, let's see. When, I don't have the exact date here as to when. It was your last one, the last one you had.
January?
But yeah, it was January, exactly.
January of
84.
When was that? Oh, well.
Anyway.
I don't have it in front of me.
How
well,
do you think I know who you are?
Okay, now, if. The thing is. The IBT, for those who don't know, is a health therapy which originated in Germany, and it boosts the immune system of the body. And the effects, of course, are individual based on your own biochemistry and your stress, what's going on in your life, your diet, all these things. So there's a good indication is if you felt a beneficial change. In other words, if most people, if they're in really good health, they don't know, they don't notice very much anyway, because it just makes them stronger and they're able to resist stresses in the environment and so forth, and they simply don't notice a change. But if you noticed a change, in other words, if something got better and then it started to slack off, if you've been under tremendous stress, if you've you know, been in an accident or had surgery, you know, things, like that, living in L.A.
Yes. Uh-huh. What if things got worse in general, period?
In general?
Yes.
Yeah,
well, we'd have to ask you questions about your diet.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, why don't you write us a letter, remind us about the Kiva Light, put your phone number in there, and I'll call you up and I'll talk to you about it.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, Ed. Best of luck on that.
Thank you.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's our turn.
Yes. Dr. Flanagan?
Yes.
And Gail?
Yes.
I would like to know if perhaps the Neurophone could help me absorb and understand and to learn, because I have a low IQ, but I can read very well. I can read huge, long syllable words, but I cannot comprehend.